Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, A10 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Time to talk to Julio Diaz, our good friend, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, which you can hear on Saturdays here on News Radio. Also, the founder and host of the Pensacola Movie Club. You can follow them on Facebook and then get together and watch a movie and talk about it with all of the other fine people that are there. Julio, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Did anything important come out last night that you guys might have watched that might have starred Harrison Ford and involved a whip and a gun and a hat?
So that sounds like you're talking about Oppenheimer.
That's right. Yeah, it just came out last night, right? Oh, this is a sick burn on me because I actually asked him before we got on the air. I asked him if Oppenheimer, because I don't always keep track of these things the way he does. So nice burn. Well done. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I know. And that is obviously there's been a lot of hype around that movie. And it's coming out the same day as Barbie. And there's a lot of hype about both of those movies. But they're coming out. By the way,
Candy's dying over here. She's laughing to the point she's going to harm herself. So Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And?
Yes, that is correct. So the fifth and so they're saying final Indiana Jones.
You mean
movie.
Fourth?
There was another one.
And, I don't think there was.
This movie does not ignore that movie.
Oh,
does not.
Okay,
it does
fine.
Not go into depth about anything in that movie, but it definitely does not ignore that movie. There's an important plot point in this film that, or maybe you might call it a character point.
Okay.
That involves a. It involves the existence of a character a lot of people might want to not admit to themselves exists, although that character is not in this film. That character was played by Shia LaBeouf, yes. Shia LaBeouf is not in this movie, I will say that.
Hey, saving graces. Okay.
So how was it?
Was it? I mean, because you know, we grew up on these movies, we love these movies, we hope for these movies, and?
Well, and above and beyond that, it's important to point out here, this is the only film in the series not involving George Lucas and Steven Spielberg directly. Lucas has produced all of these films. He created the character. Steven Spielberg directed all of these films up until now. Neither one of them directly involved in this film. But wrapping up the saga, the reviews are kind of mixed on this. There was a big burst of applause for it out of Cannes when it debuted, and initially the Rotten Tomatoes rating was very high, and then it dropped very low, and it came back up to what we call middling, 66%. I think it's a little better than that. I do think it's a better film than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but it's still probably the fourth best film out of five in the Indiana Jones franchise. But this is one of the greatest film franchises of all time,
right,
too. So, there's a little bit of a thumb on the scale there.
Fourth best in a family of five geniuses is maybe okay, right?
Yeah. The movie's a lot of fun. You get to see some characters we haven't seen in a while, which is nice, including John Rhys-Davies back as Sala.
Oh, nice.
Indiana Jones is just a great character, and Harrison Ford obviously loves playing him, but he almost gets upstaged in this, I would say, by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who plays his goddaughter, Helena Shaw, and is kind of the person that really sends the action into gear in this film. And she is just, she's just a great presence on the screen, and I would love for them to maybe not make another Indiana Jones movie, because it does end pretty perfectly for Indy.
Okay.
I would love to see some Helena Shaw adventures.
Yeah,
like a
generational takeover, a new wave of the. I love that.
It would be a lot of fun.
You know, for me, I still can't wrap my brain around the idea that Tom Selleck was the first pick over Harrison Ford originally. That just blows my mind.
It would be quite different.
We also had. I know it's not nearly as significant as that one, but Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. That's one I've been really looking forward to. I've never heard of it. What does this have to do with? What is this about?
This is an animated film, so this is the film for the family audiences this week.
Got it.
And it is a young girl who is kind of awkward and trying to blend in at school, and who discovers that she is actually a kraken.
We might think of it as a big
sea monster, but this film reveals that the actual monsters are the mermaids and the Krakens are the defenders of the world.
So it's been a PR thing. The mermaids have been lying about the Kraken all this time.
Well, and there's a new popular girl at school who everybody's in love with, and she's a redhead that kind of looks kind of a little bit familiar.
These Harris are everywhere. I know where this is going.
She may or may not be a mermaid. So there's a little rivalry there. So it's got the high school, you know, kind of element going along with it.
Sounds delightful. How's it rated?
The reviews are okay. Kind of the same range as Indiana Jones, so mid-60s.
Okay.
Right. This one really for the kids, though, and I think the kids are going to probably like
it. Well, we are unfortunately out of time, but we got Past Lives, we got Prisoner's Daughter, we got everybody, not everybody. If you had to pick any of these three that's really worth checking out?
Yeah. Well, great reviews for both Past Lives and Everybody, but Past Lives is the one you want to pay attention to because there's a lot of possible Oscar buzz on this one.
Okay.
This is a film about two people that are two Korean people who are very good friends as children, and they come apart, and then 24 years later they come back together, and it's a kind of a will they or won't they, is there a love there, etc., etc.
Fantastic
reviews on that. And everybody, the documentary is about the lives of intersex people and the challenges they face, and that's gotten melting in the reviews as well.
All right, and so Past Lives is basically like a Korean serious version of what's that show I did with Seth Rogen? I just can't think of it, that we've been watching. The it's on Apple, that where they come back together after 25 years or whatever. Now I can't think of it, and it was in my head and it's out of my head. So
Pineapple Express?
Not that one. Anyway, I was gonna make a really pithy line and then my brain just failed me. So what are you guys gonna watch next week?
This is more of a romance, and that is, that element too.
Gotcha.
Next week, Joyride is what we're looking at next week, which is another film that the Asian audience is in mind, and bringing in Stephanie Hsu, who just was nominated for an Academy Award for Everything Everywhere All at Once, that she lost to her co-star, Jamie Lee Curtis. Check out the Facebook group, and when we have the details, it will be up there.
Very good. Platonic. I couldn't think of Platonic was the name of it.
Absolutely.
All right, Julio Diaz, he's the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturday, and the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. As always, Julio, thanks for the time, and thanks for what you do, building community around movies. I really think it's an important thing, and I'm glad you do it, sir.
No worries. Thanks, Andrew.
817 News Radio 92.3, coming up in just a moment, the Transgressors Memorial Service, and Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing those slowdowns or delays. Everything's pretty good on the roads. They suggested to stay off the roads before 10, not like permanently, but because that's going to be the busiest time as people are traveling out of town and into town for the holiday weekend. It looks like people are adhering to that. Everything's fine right now. Not showing any problems on I-10, I-110. Everything moving at posted speeds. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. The Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here, Pensacola Expert Pam. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play, Pensacola. Tune in this morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Thank you, brother. First, the United States Army for rampant repetitive cultural appropriation. As we have all been learning in the fine seminar by Brother Upsharand, promoting gender equity through emasculatory renaming, finding the ideal names for things is difficult. But just as we are passing the halfway mark in rebranding 9 military installations improperly named for Confederate leaders, it's time to address the other glaring problem: military equipment nicknames that denigrate Native Americans by culturally appropriating their tribal identities. As the Weakest Link recently observed,
named for indigenous American tribes, what type of military aircraft are Apaches, Chinooks, and Comanches?
Airplanes.
Nope, helicopters.
That's correct, but it's far more than just these three names: the Black Hawk, the Cheyenne, the Lakota, the Huron, the Hawkeye, the Mohawk, the Shawnee, the Ute, the Seminole, the Kiowa, the Cayuse, the Creek, and the Iroquois. Can you imagine anything more offensive to indigenous peoples than to steal their tribal names and put them on weapons of war in service of the same national military that decimated those tribes in the first place? We even stole the names of their most unique weapons, calling the Apache the longbow, and of course, the most glaring example, the Tomahawk cruise missile. And to claim that this is a way of honoring the military prowess of the vanquished is really just cover for the way such names reduce Native Americans to the status of violent savages whose only legacy is to be plagiarized as killing machines. No, let us instead find a more suitable category for naming our helicopters, such as perhaps varieties of candy or flowers. The AH-64 Almond Joy, the CH-47 Carnation, the UH-60 Twizzler, and the BGM-109 Daffodil Cruise Missile are all good candidates for the kinder, gentler, and more inclusive Army of the future. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, the Macon Bacon, a collegiate summer league baseball team in Georgia for its disgusting promotion of the most unhealthy of processed meats. As a letter to the team from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine stated, Macon Bacon's glorification of bacon, a processed meat that raises the risk of colorectal cancer and other diseases, sends the wrong message to fans. Quite sensibly, the letter encouraged renaming the team to the Macon Fakin' Bacon to encourage plant-based alternatives and to ditch the stadium's theme of bacon-centric food offerings such as the 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, the Bacon-Wrapped Bacon, Steak-Cut Bacon, Bacon-Loaded Mac and Cheese, and Bacon Chips. But tragically, the response from team president Brandon Raphael showed clear unrepentance, saying, "The Macon Bacon will be sizzling forever and will not consider a name change ever." But why is it so vital for us to control what people eat, aside from helping them live longer, less tasty lives? Well, as Moriselli's fifth missive on gustatory fascism teaches, if you want to control the people, start by controlling their stomachs. Simply put, a religion is not a religion without strict dietary codes. And we can't expect people to take our movement seriously if we don't require them to make great sacrifices in taste and pleasure for the cause. So throw down your bacon double cheeseburgers, beat your bacon dogs into tofu bars, and usher in a whole new age of pork-free, low-grade living. To paraphrase a famous Vulcan, live long and suffer. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, major kudos to Kelly Robinson for enduring the slings and arrows at last week's Senate Judiciary hearing on issues of pertinence to the members of the Holy Acronym String. During the 2.5 hours of testimony, Ms. Robinson bravely refused to answer the ridiculous questions of Senator John Kennedy.
And how many genders are there?
I think the gender is expansive and the definitions are always growing.
Are there more than 5?
I wouldn't subject myself to naming how many genders there are.
There's an infinite number of genders?
I think depending on your culture, there are a lot of different genders that exist.
Way to go, Kelly. Good for you for refusing to limit the total number of genders to an actual number. Remember what the third graders learn in Sunday school. The only way to have productive conversations is to never give any yard to your opponent. By providing an actual number, of course, she would have been limiting the wide open possibilities for customized individual expressions of gender identity to an actual set of meaningful ones. Obviously, our goal is to have so many different alternatives for gender that we can make gender a completely meaningless concept while also claiming that gender is one of the most important things about us. But it didn't end there.
Do males have an advantage over females biologically in sports?
It depends.
You don't believe that a biological male has a physical advantage in sports over a biological female?
Not as a definitive statement.
Of course she can't admit this, even though the answer is obvious, because doing so would logically put her in a bind when advocating for transgender women to compete against cisgender women in sports. And thus, Kelly is doing one of the most important things people of the acronym can do. When forced to pick between denying our core principles or abandoning reason and experience, always get rid of reason and experience. People will forget that you were irrational, but they will never forget that you betrayed the cause. Besides, logic is just a tool of the heteronormative patriarchy's oppression of alternate thought styles. And we don't owe an explanation to some old, white, binary straight man from Louisiana. So great work, Kelly Robinson. You keep repeating all the incoherent things we believe until these transphobic politicians give up in sheer frustration. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before we dismiss, I want to remind you that Other and Jesse's Business Opportunity Seminar, From Hemp to Eternity, will begin promptly at midnight of the new moon on July 17th at their secret grow farm north of here. Coordinates may be accessed via the QR code in your bulletin. Refreshments today are provided by our First World Players Imitating Poverty Performance Troupe, who went dumpster diving just this morning in order to bring us the finest freegan foodstuff a person can find. I believe we have 2-day rigatoni, 4-day bread, and a 32-ounce dented can of V8, low salt edition. Please take only what you can keep down. Amoxicillin tablets are available upon request.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
827 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
From hemp to eternity. I would shop there. As we take a look at around the area, we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like everybody's following the rules today, right? Because that's what it is. Mobile Highway, 9 Mile, not showing any problems. Pine Forest also clear. And certainly if you have a traffic tip, text it in. 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Now going into the newsroom where David Wayne proudly stands with Bob Salarsky.
I do.
Both do.
Nicely done.
The Supreme Court ruling today on two cases involving President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan and another that concerns whether states can force businesses to serve same-sex couples. That case brought on by a Colorado web designer that argued she has a First Amendment right to refuse to design websites for same-sex weddings. It's a busy day at the airport ahead of the 4th of July weekend. A lot of travelers apparently bringing their pets with them this year. Patty Manchin with TSA says they're seeing more puppies and kitties going through security.
What we're seeing is people bring their pets, they have them in a pet carrier, and then they don't remove the pet from the carrier as they go through the machine.
And she says that creates confusing incidents at the TSA lines. She says to check with your airline if you're taking your pet with you. And former President Trump says he may not participate in the first Republican primary debate in August. In a phone interview with Reuters, Trump said that he might hold an alternative event instead. The Fox News is hosting the first GOP presidential debate on August 23rd in Milwaukee.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 829, you know, the Supreme Court ruled yesterday 6-3 that the affirmative action programs are no longer constitutional or were never, whatever. But also that military academies have a carve out. That issue was not dealt with in the opinion. You know, one of the things that's been reported quite a bit is that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas benefited from an affirmative action program at one time and yet ruled against it and has been stridently against such programs in his jurisprudence. And people say, how is that possible? Why is he such a hypocrite? Okay. All right. Two things, at least. One is that whether somebody benefited from a program or experienced something a certain way, that has no dispositive value on what their opinion is about that program. I mean, he could have gotten benefit from it and still be opposed to it, gotten benefit from it, be in favor of it, or not gotten the benefit. And, you know, like, it's, there's no relevance between those two things. But that's not the important part. The important part is Clarence Thomas's job is not to rule on the basis of what he personally thinks or what personally benefited him or disfavored him or anything else. His job is to rule on the law. And the fact that he may have gotten a benefit from an affirmative action program back in the day has nothing to do with whether that program itself is constitutional. That's his job in the robe.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Millions of student loan borrowers could find out this morning if some of their debt might be forgiven. The Supreme Court's expected to rule on a Biden administration proposal.
At issue are two questions for the justices. First, if two student loan borrowers have standing to sue over the Education Department's student debt plan. And second, if the Education Department even has the legal authority to implement the policy.
Fox's Jared Halpern. A man being sued over the January 6th Capitol riot has been arrested near former President Obama's home in D.C.
Taylor Taranto got chased down by Secret Service. Then a sweep of his van turned up weapons and the makings for an explosive device. Taranto's being sued by the widow of a D.C. Metropolitan Police officer. That officer died by suicide after an alleged attack involving Taranto and another man during the riot.
Fox's Jill Nato. Stocks start the day higher. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Another hot day today. 88 right now. Sunny in Pensacola. Florida's new permitless carry gun laws go into effect tomorrow, and that means Floridians will be able to carry a concealed weapon without having to go through the permit process. But PPD's Mike Wood tells News Radio that they are still issuing permits.
The permits still have benefits, including reciprocity, and other states that recognize Florida's permits and the ability to purchase and take delivery of the firearm on the same day in lieu of the three-day waiting period. So getting that permit still has its purpose.
And Wood says the law is pretty cut and dry, but there may be limitations on who can carry, including anybody with a felony criminal history, multiple DUIs, or habitual offender public intoxication charges. Wood says that some situations may not be clear, so officers will be taking those as they come and seeking clarification when needed. Public safety leaders say they've been struggling with tourists ignoring beach warning flags. Apparently now there's an issue with the flags actually being stolen.
Just the other day, this flag right over here on our main beach disappeared at like 11 o'clock in the morning. We threw it up. We threw up a red flag, and then I turned around about noon, and it was gone.
Navarre Beach Safety Chief Austin Turnbull talked with Channel 3. He says so far this year, 52 flags have been stolen. For some reason, he says the double red that warns people to stay out of the water is the most popular target of the flag thefts. He's asking the Santa Rosa County Commissioners to approve new 30-foot poles to replace their current 10-foot poles. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says an arrest has now been made in connection with a shooting last month on Lillian Highway. 45-year-old Willie Trotter was arrested on Thursday. He's currently being held on $215,000 bond. Investigators say in May, he and another man got into a fight, drew knives on each other, and then Trotter's accused of pulling out a pistol and shooting the man in the leg before leaving the scene. He's facing multiple charges, including aggravated battery and being a felon in possession of a firearm. The 19-year-old that shot and killed his mother in April has been sentenced.
David Olson will spend 10 years in state prison after reaching a deal with prosecutors and pleading no contest to manslaughter last month. Back on April 8th of last year, Olson shot his mother in the abdomen at their home. The shooting stemmed from his finding out that his parents would be divorcing 3 weeks prior. He had originally been charged with second-degree murder and had intended on pleading not guilty by reason of insanity before reaching the plea deal.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. Local governments may have less power now to protect tenants in disputes with their landlords. Governor DeSantis signed the Florida Residential Landlord and Tenant Act yesterday. It makes sure state housing laws override local laws. Several cities and counties have passed tenants' bill of rights in recent years. Some of those ordinances may now be voided by this new state law. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
This is brought to you by the Farmers Fresh from Florida. They want to let you know that Florida watermelon's in season right now. Learn more. Follow freshfromflorida.com from the Florida Department of Agriculture. Not showing any accidents right now. Everything's running at posted speeds. Not showing any slowdowns. Again, 98, 90, I-10, I-110, all running free right now. Just fine. Traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. A fresh Florida watermelon would be a great addition to any 4th of July barbecue, wouldn't it? It's 8:35. Your next, let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Another hot and humid day today. Temperatures topping out in the mid to upper 90s, feeling more like the triple digits. Just a small chance of an afternoon shower. Overnight tonight, staying warm in the upper 70s. This heat continues into the weekend. Make sure you are staying safe for all of your outdoor activities. Temperatures still in the mid to upper 90s with a small chance of rain in the afternoon. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
88 in Pensacola, 89 in Gulf Breeze, 83 in Milton, and that feels like temperature this morning already at 97.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Neil Clinic Chiropractor.
Your money now. The markets are up at the opening bell today. The Dow up 183.88 at 34,306.30. The S&P 500 up 35.90 at 44,32.12. And the NASDAQ up 147.67 this morning at 13,739. Our 10-year bond rate down at 3.84% today. Gold prices up at 1,921.30. Silver prices down, though, at 2268. The U.S. economy grew by a 2% annualized rate in the first quarter of the year. That's above predictions of 1.4%. Commerce Department GDP numbers out yesterday show consumer spending also grew by 4.2%, and that's despite inflation. The CEO of Anheuser-Busch says he's got no regrets about the Bud Light partnership with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney. CEO Brian Whitworth made that comment on CBS's This Morning this week and said there's a big social conversation taking place right now. He says big brands are stuck in the middle of it. The latest jobless report says unemployment insurance claims went down by 26,000 last week. The Department of Labor says 239,000 claims were made in the week that ended on June 4th. It's 8:37. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Said a hip, the hip, hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, that is a wrap. It's 8:38 here on News Radio 92.3. It's a chance to talk about the news of the week or the things that we kind of all have in common that are interesting. Whenever I have people in here, you never know what's going to happen. That's why I like it. Jewel Canada Wynn is with us. She's, of course, a former teacher, retired now teacher, and also former city councilwoman. Jewel, welcome back to the wrap.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Good morning, Pensacola.
You were actually, I'll get Jer on here in just a second, but let's bring him in. Jer Jacquet, did I say it right?
You did.
All right, put your face right up next to the microphone, like you're almost going to lick it. That's the right place. He is the president of Bluffline and somebody who's kind of been active in various boards and advisories and, you know, different things. And I've kind of seen your name a bunch and I wanted to have you on the show. So welcome to the wrap.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. But, Jewel, you were kind of telling me that you had had to retire from teaching, there's a change in the law that goes into effect tomorrow, and if it had been implied when you were teaching, you wouldn't have had to retire.
I would not have had to retire from the city council.
because they didn't want you to double dip.
Right, right.
And so now they're going to allow you to retire and get a pension and still work. And so, you know, legislature, y'all are just about 2 years too late.
I see.
For me, but it's going to help. You know, they said 600,000 other people. So you can't have this exodus mm-hmm. of talent and this exodus of that. I think that is more to the problems of education and hiring teachers than just that. But I do think that that's good to keep some of that talent still there.
You know, I know you have a lot of roots still in education, mm-hmm. but we were talking kind of about this last week, too, that there are teachers, at least a number of whom have shown up at, like, city council and county commission meetings to say, we're no longer teaching because of the current environment with books and what we perceive as censorship, and they're afraid of running afoul of things. Have you talked to many people, or have you that have kind of expressed that to you? Or
I've talked to a few people, not a lot, but as an educator, I could sense the uncertainty.
Yeah.
You don't know where to go. And the only thing I could tell a teacher is that they have to stay their course, and they have to, you know, focus on the child and what that youth need to encourage, and making sure they provide that love, compassion, and consideration along with the educational needs, and stay that course. Our teachers are great people. They have not strayed as if the state of Florida has seemed to think they have strayed away from that their academic needs and right. the love of their students. And so I just don't know where that basis of this come from, because we have great teachers that do focus on the kids and the standards that's required of them.
I know for me, I know my personality. I would have been the one that would have said, you know, I'm going to teach what I'm going to teach, and if you got to drag me out of the classroom, then do it. You know, but I'm not going to leave preemptively. Like, you're going to force your hand. You're going to make this happen. Jarrah, you are the president of Bluffline. And for people who don't know, maybe give them, like, the elevator speech. Like, what is this project all about? Because it's a pretty huge project mm-hmm. if it ever comes about.
It is. So the Bluffline is a ambitious multi-use trail project that's modeled on the Beltline in Atlanta, Underline in Miami, to some extent the High Line in New York City. And the goal of it is to provide a safe, comfortable, protected connection between East and West Pensacola mm-hmm. through downtown. And I think what's a little bit different about the Bluffline compared to something like the Gulf State Park Trails or the Milton Blackwater Heritage State Trails is mm-hmm. that it's not just recreational. I mean, recreational trails are wonderful. I have 5 young children, love to use them. But the Bluffline is intentionally designed to have utility for transportation needs.
So it's actually getting people from here to there, not just, you know, recreation and entertainment.
Exactly. You know, mm-hmm. Jewel and I were talking a little bit earlier about you know, our huge workforce housing needs mm-hmm. and the fact that for folks with limited income, housing and transportation eat up almost all of one's monthly budget. So if you tackle housing without tackling transportation issues, mm-hmm. you know, if you build affordable housing in Century for workers that work yeah. in downtown Pensacola, you're going to be spending $1,000 a month on gas, and so it's not going to help so much. Right. And so
and of course, the more affordable, the farther from, typically.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely a relationship there. And so, you know, by linking downtown with the West Side and some of the census tracts in the city that and county that have the lowest car ownership, you know, some of these census tracts, less than 50% of households have access to a vehicle.
Right.
And so, you know, our public transportation system, I would argue that we can do better than we're doing now. And so, you know, having safe ways to bike and walk for people to get to work, to get their, you know, groceries and their other daily needs, it's not just a nice to have, it's really an absolute necessity.
I'm always struck whenever I think about it because, yeah, look, I'm middle class. I've always had a car. You know, we have 2 cars. Actually 3 now. 1 kid's driving. So, you know, cars are just like breathing to me. It's so assumed, right? And so I always have to remind myself whenever I think about issues like, you know, workforce housing or job opportunities that there are so many people for whom, you know, walking is their way of life, or biking is their way of life. And we certainly don't have a society with infrastructure designed around accommodating that need. And I think, you know, whatever you think about the value of public, like bus transit, for example, it's a real, you know, nobody who drives a car says, you know, maybe I'll just start riding the bus instead. It's so much better. Like, nobody would think that way because it's so inferior by comparison. And that should tell us something about whether we're really serving, you know, or making possible for those people to, you know, fully actualize themselves and have the economic opportunity that they need, right?
We here in Escambia County don't see public transportation as our cousins in large metropolitan areas in the North. See, public transportation is not an economic necessarily total issue. It's the way you get around more easily and everything to get around. However, here in our area, we are still a car-driven community and county. And so for those people who, I went out looking for a car, you know, I got my little hoopty, my little red Nissan there, but I need another car. And when you're talking about having to pay $650 a month just for the average vehicle, I mean, that's a horrible state when you're talking about, I have X number of dollars to spend, my dollars go for rent. If I got to pay this, I have to go without that. That means I don't work, or I have to get up at 6 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, catch three buses to get to this particular place. So the connectivity of us with our workplaces and everything is a vital. Is a vital. Even if you put affordable housing, you have to put that housing in that connectivity with transportation.
Yeah, and the needs. I mean, as you say, the cost of the car, the cost of insurance, the cost of gas, and the flip side is, okay, you know, public transit might be cheaper, but there's a massive time cost in using public transit, a massive inconvenience, which of course is why people have cars. But, you know, if there are people who can't afford the car, you know, and they're already struggling a lot of times because, you know, maybe it's a single parent family, maybe they've got multiple kids, you know, maybe they're having to travel to work, which is very difficult to do, or a second job, you know, you start to realize that money and time become their scarce commodity. And that's just, that's a challenge to make everything work. We're talking with former City Councilwoman Jewel Canada Wynn and Jared Jacquet here on The Wrap. Let's get Canyon here with Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Avalon HR. With everything going on, you need Avalon. That's employing made easy. And again, good news, we're not showing any of these slowdowns on the roads. Be careful, certainly wherever you are. 29, accident-free, not showing any problems from the split at Pace Palafox all the way up to the Atmore cutoff. If you have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to Jewel and Jarrah. Question for you. I know, Jarrah, you were involved in the, like, the summit improvements, you know, looking at that, trying to make that safer. My perception is that people speed, but it's safe. Am I wrong? That's my perception is that it doesn't really need a lot of change, except maybe for parking around Roger Scott. But you tell me.
So what I would say is that, you know, you compare Summit Boulevard and the census tracts there and the neighborhoods surrounding it, and it's a very, very different demographic than something like West Cervantes
or
West Jackson Street, you know.
Which, by the way, West Jackson is going to be undergoing, or has, it's real soon, is going to be undergoing massive renovation. Massive renovation.
And super excited.
Safer, better, fast. I mean, not faster, but, you know, much, much better for sure.
Yeah, you know, so I would argue that the needs are different on Summit Boulevard. You know, the problem on Summit Boulevard right now, my wife, mother of five, she's a nurse at Sacred Heart Hospital. You know, right before I drove in here today, I actually had to say goodbye to her as she hopped on her bike and rode to work from the Cordova Park Inverness area to Sacred Heart Hospital.
Okay.
And what I'll say,
which is probably what, a mile, two,
it's
miles?
Probably 4 or 5.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
All right. I'm trying to put it in my head.
There's a long stretch of Summit Boulevard that she has to spend time on. So, you know, first of all, there have been like 68 accidents on Summit Boulevard in the last 4 or 5 years. By the grace of God, none fatal. I mean, actually, we had a very serious car versus bike accident last week, the day after a public meeting in which quite a few folks asserted that there's never been any accidents on Summit Boulevard.
Right.
But I would say that the bigger problem there is that because so many people, almost everyone, owns a vehicle on Summit Boulevard, it's the opportunity costs. It's that it's parents making a rational choice given the current circumstances of that road to say, look, I'm not going to let my kid cross Summit Boulevard mm-hmm. to get to Roger Scott to play tennis or to go swimming or to go to football practice. They're saying, you know, when we ride our bikes with our kids, well, I mean, honestly, we just avoid Summit Boulevard. We cut okay. through, but there are places where it's the only option.
Right.
And so I would say that Summit Boulevard is a problem. It's just that the people who live there are avoiding it.
No, that makes
instead
sense.
Of getting killed.
Yeah, yeah. So like compared to say West Cervantes on the west side,
it reminds you of the Cervantes,
yeah.
you know, street corridor there. You're just not going to cross Cervantes Street.
And that's what I was
unless
thinking.
You were in a car
right.
before they did the
wall, the fence or whatever.
The
fence yeah.
is there. And I have seen that work so well too, because the people they get in that center lane, they mash the little button and the yellow flash goes off
yeah.
and people will stop. And they will slow down, and they will cross over. So at Cervantes, I would never, even walking during campaigns and things like that, I would never walk across Cervantes Street, ever. You have to, first of all, you have to run. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not a good runner. I'm slow. And so you would have to go back, get into your car, and drive over. There was just never an idea that I was going to walk across Cervantes Street. And that's probably one of the issues there at Summit, is that people are just that connectivity to the resources and from their homes. I mean, they just fear that their children are going to get hurt and that they are too may get killed or others. So it's the idea, oh no, we are not going to cross Summit. And yeah. that's ingrained there.
And I think that's an interesting response to the claim that it hasn't had, you know, no fatalities, right? And to my mind, not that many accidents, but still 60 yeah. is not nothing, right? But does that mean the road is safe, or does that mean that people have adjusted their behavior to the unsafety of the road, right? You know, and would that be very different if the road were somehow made different, slowed down road diet, you know, something like that? So that's a really interesting perspective. I hadn't been thinking about that way. Also, Jewel, I think you're the first person I have ever heard, and I appreciate that, saying that your experience of Cervantes is that the project worked.
Yes.
That the project with the fence that we have made fun of a lot, and, you know, the crosswalks, and will people actually do what they're supposed to do, or will they just be hopping the fence and all this kind of stuff? But I don't drive Cervantes a lot, but you're saying from your perspective it's effective.
You know, there are always those few people who are just not going to do the right thing. Okay.
Yeah,
we
right.
just have to. But I have seen it work. I have seen people go there, they cross over, they hit the button, they stand right there, the traffic, you know, responds to it very well. So it has worked.
Okay.
Can there be some tweaking to it? Maybe so. But I think that it has worked, and it creates this buffer for people to go back and forth and back and forth.
Well, I appreciate that, because that is definitely not my perspective
and
I drive, on it. But
I
if you
Cervantes all the time.
But so. if you drive it a lot and you say you've seen it, I will
yes.
take your firsthand account over mm-hmm. my, you know, not as informed. Uh-huh. Jerry, you were going to add to that?
Yeah, I would say that I am so thankful that since the implementation of this mm-hmm. project mm-hmm. that we've not had a fatal accident on Cervantes. I would, push back against the assertion that it's a good project, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if the only metric of success you're looking at is zero fatalities, maybe it's a success. But I'm not sure how we've gotten into a situation where our urban transportation planning is divorced from economics,
mm-hmm.
is divorced from usability for road users other than vehicles. I mean, urban areas are all about density of people and
right.
being able to walk and bike. And while it was framed as a safety project to make things better for walkers and cyclists, actually it's made it much more difficult for walkers and cyclists, and it's hurt the business community
right.
in that area. And so,
and aesthetics. I mean,
yeah,
let's be
yeah,
obvious
yeah.
that's not a zero concern. That's of value
that's
too,
true.
Right?
Uh-huh.
That feeling, whether it's, you know, perceived or what, you know, that feeling of, well, we live in a gated in community, and or just the visual unappeal of it. These are things that matter too.
I'll just drop a little bomb here. I would say that if you had proposed that for Summit Boulevard, We'll just say it would not have would not have happened.
Or even East Cervantes. Yeah, I mean, exactly. that's I think that's accurate.
And you know, I think that we think of this as the city design. This was not a city design. So I do want to make sure everybody understand that this design came from the state. And I learned so much, because when you're trying to build relationships and corporations with other governmental entities, it's a tricky situation. It is very tricky. You have to know when you're getting ready to lose control.
Yeah.
And so I was not familiar with that. And so, again, okay, we're going to do the safety. We're going to put these things here. And then you find yourself losing the control you need to make it as effective as you wanted it to be. And this is where we found ourselves. I found myself as a city council member saying, okay, these things need to be done. These things need to be done. And they said, okay, good. They listened to me really well.
And then they did what they wanted to do.
And just continued to do. So it was a very, very much learning experience for me in dealing with these all, whether you dealt with the county, you dealt with the state, you dealt with the FDOT, and you're dealing with all of these different entities, and where did it fall? You kind of lost that control that you wanted to make things happen.
You know, it just occurs to me, because Milton is going through this right now. They're having a widening of Highway 90 downtown. There's a lot of fighting over what should it look like, how should it be shaped, will FDOT allow us to do what we want, working with the TPO, all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. It suddenly occurs to me that having suffered through the Cervantes project yourself, I know a lot of the Milton folks, but they should either reach out to you or have you would be a really interesting resource to go talk to them at their city council just about what you learned.
Yes, because it was
that they can maybe implement as they're still going through it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, would I take it back? No, because once you see the number of deaths and the number of serious accidents on there, it has done what it is supposed to do. And they tried to put some more aesthetic.
Right.
I don't know when the wall came in, because the diagram, it wasn't a wall. It was like a fence, a rail fence, not a wall. So, again, learning from that experience and learning from that has been very vital for me in going forward with any other things that deal with this corporation between multiple entities. Because you're going to need to know where the final decisions are
going
to be made.
Right, let's take a quick break. We're talking to Jewel Canada Wynn and Jared Jacquet here on The Wrap. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
It looks like Fairfield is showing a blockage now, and this is eastbound or northbound, sort of, coming up from 29 from Palafox there, kind of near Strikers Entertainment Center, all the way up to 110. It looks like it's a standstill right now. Not showing an accident or a slowdown right now, but certainly if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, you can text it in at 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. All right, we're almost out of time. It always happens. It goes so quickly. But I definitely wanted to talk about the street sweepers because, this is one of those things where it doesn't really, I want to say this just right, it doesn't really matter, but it's fun.
It's fun.
It's a way to engage the citizens in naming and putting a little bit of art on. They mostly aren't going to see the street sweepers because they go at night, so it's not like it's going to be out and about all day long. But I just think it's a neat opportunity to make government and life in the city just kind of fun for a minute. And, you know, I like the ones that they picked and all of that. But, Jewel, you were telling me
that I like the ones that they picked, but I've submitted Sweet Pea.
Oh, I love that. Sweet Pea.
That was the one that I
that would have been fun. There were so many good ones on the list. I remember going through that whole list and looking at them. And, Jared, I just think, like, it's kind of a refreshing thing to just see something just about purely fun and whimsy in government that's entertaining and nice, right?
I think it's wonderful. I mean, Mayor Reeves said that over 6,000 votes were cast in that. I mean, that's better than a lot of municipal elections.
More people voted for the street sweeper names than voted.
Maybe we should include street sweeper polls
on the ballot?
On the ballot to drive turnout.
But I did want to ask him, is there funding for that project, for the Bluffs project. How has that gone? Have we gotten funding for this area?
We are totally out of time, but do you have a yes, no for that?
Please follow us at www.bluffline.org
there
for
you
more
go.
Information.
Outstanding. Well, Jara and Jewel, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
And breaking news when it matters most.
News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.